This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. I feel like the morale is high.
The morale
way
is
high.
Way high.
It's way high.
Honestly, the three of us have been having, we always had fun, but we've been having even more fun than usual.
An exquisite amount of fun.
We've been getting along really well, and I think it's like finally all the work we put into the podcast is starting to materialize in a way we can see it.
There are a lot of things going on behind the scenes in First Degree Land that I think everybody is going to be pretty excited about.
Yeah, me too.
Once we can
show you and tell
it's
you.
It's like we're doing that like thing that influencers do on social media where it's like working on a secret project.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, I don't give a fuck.
Right. No.
But you should give a fuck about ours because things are happening.
That's right.
For yes. First Degree Land. Billy, should we just jump into the day?
Let's jump into the day. You know, it's September 2nd, and in 1666, the Great Fire of London begins.
Ooh.
Now, this happened because King Charles II's baker, who lived on Pudding Lane...
What? Oh, it's stop. A sign.
It's a sign.
Pudding MLM.
If you listened last week, you know we have... semi-fake plans to create a pudding
By
MLM.
By the way, when I was saying there were big plans going on in the
that
first
is not
degree, it was not the pudding MLM. That's a joke.
I do think pudding's underrated, so and I do think we should do something. I'm not sure that's our approach, but if we ever have a live show, there's going to be like pudding stands.
Yes,
like we're going to bring pudding make into the mainstream.
Make pudding cool again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this fire spread ridiculously quick. More than 4/5 of London was destroyed.
That's insane.
4/5?
Yes.
Sometimes though, you just need to start over. Like, I'm not saying this was good.
Yeah.
But I just mean, sometimes starting over is not terrible.
If you believe that everything happens for a reason, maybe they did need to
start
over.
I'm just searching for a silver lining.
13,000 houses, 90 churches, old St. Paul's Cathedral was destroyed. 100,000 people were left homeless.
This was the 1600s?
Yes. Now,
start over.
If you ever go to London, you'll see they are really, really afraid of fire because there's so many fire doors. If you ever go to London, you're staying in a hotel. Mm-hmm. They've got doors, like these fire doors that are there that you're just like, we don't have these in America. Fire is considered a real big thing even
I've
now.
I've never noticed that. But I know that everything is like... I mean,
we have fire drills and fire escapes and fireproof... We care about fires too, especially in Los Angeles.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. We have a great fire every year.
Yeah, like yes.
The
Santa Ana's
in the Malibu area.
Like blow embers all over Malibu. Miley Cyrus's house burned down. The Kardashians almost did. Like fire is big here too.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but we don't necessarily do a lot to stop it though.
No, people just continue to build houses and then have fire insurance. And then
They do planned burns. I just don't think they have enough. Yeah. They don't do it enough to clear. Sorry.
It's still happening. It's almost time for the fire season to start now.
It is.
Yes. But that's what today is. And we are going to have we were going to veer a little bit into London crimes and then veer into something that is along the same lines when we talk about True Crime Rewind.
And we're going a lot of places today.
Yeah. But thank you for that organic pivot, Billy.
Yes. And then he was going to pivot to me. And then I am going to say, we'll get to that in a second. But before then, we've got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, welcome to Welcome to On the Stand.
Again, tired and hungover.
God. What the, I've never, ever introduced True Crime Rewind, ever. Why am I doing it?
Because you want to be Billy?
No, I definitely don't want to be Billy. Sorry.
The hell?
Me sorry, either. Billy. Hard pass. I'd be Jack. Jack sounds, mm-hmm. Jack's life's fun.
Well, I don't think I want to be Alexis.
No. No, you really don't.
It sounds too difficult.
Because I take too much on.
Yes.
And then I don't sleep. And then I self-soothe. Anyways, this isn't the me podcast.
This isn't Alexis's therapy session. On the Stand is a segment where we each bring an idea, person, place, or thing onto the stand. We're debating it or prosecuting it or what the other thing is. And then we vote if it's guilty or not guilty at the end. Again, we're running on empty.
Damn right.
And after that, if you guys aren't following us on Instagram, I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to be following us on Instagram. So many fun things happening, including voting on the stand if it's guilty or not guilty. We want everybody to weigh in.
Yes.
Honestly, our Instagram is very engaging. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram's gotten way better. Thanks, Taylor. But yeah, I think you guys should all follow us at The First Degree on Insta.
Yeah, it's the best way to tell us what you're thinking about our crazy, crazy subjects that we bring up. Well, Alexis, before we started recording the podcast, you said that your On the Stand was amazing.
Ooh.
So I can't wait to hear it.
Okay. So we all know the archetype, the creepy van. The creepy van.
Yes.
Serial killers drive creepy vans. Creepy child molesters drive creepy vans. Vans are for creepy people.
Well, True Crime Garage literally has a shirt that says ban the van.
That's right.
Ban the van. I'm here.
Okay.
To defend the van.
Yes.
Oh.
I am saying vans have gotten a bad rap. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Minivans, the sheer size. You could have a bed in there. A windowless van, you could have a bed in the dark. You can carry all your friends. There's usually like TVs built in the headrests. They have all the luxuries. Like, it's a luxury vehicle.
That's not true.
It depends.
A windowless white van is not a luxury vehicle.
Doesn't necessarily
vehicle.
Have to be
it
a white
can.
Van.
That's just a regular van. But like minivans even soccer mom vans get a bad rap.
Okay. These are two different things. Are you defending
both
the white, creepy, windowless van?
It depends on the interior of the van. If it's a nice van.
Why did they make vans windowless?
For work trucks and stuff.
Yeah, work trucks. So like my dad had
so you have tools and stuff, and if they're expensive, you don't want them to be stolen. It's just like to keep, to protect the interior of the van. That being said, though, I want to argue for the van before you chime in, because I see it like teeming inside you. You're ready to speak. But before you do, vans have luxury interiors. They can tow a trailer or
a
boat.
She's reading facts.
I made bullet points. They can trail a boat or a trailer. They can haul more than a small truck can, and they have all-wheel drive. And there's like rows. You can separate your children if they don't get along. They've got TVs. They've got outlets usually. Two sliding doors on both sides.
Yeah.
The ingenuity, the convenience, and their reputation is like they're the black sheep of the vehicles in the world. Other than like, I don't know. I don't want to compare it to a worse vehicle because there is no worse reputation than that of the van.
I agree. Now, this is I have actually talked about this before.
Of course you have.
Growing up, I had this book. Listen, I was a kid in the 70s and 80s. Vans were a big thing. Every merch, you could look at any kind of merch, from Star Wars to Wonder Woman, everybody had a van. Vans were a thing. And when I would see Nick and the captain have the shirt with ban the van.
Yep.
Defend the van. If it has...
Is it ban the van or defend the van?
No, they have, they have ban
the van.
I know, but he just confused me.
But I'm saying defend the van if the van has a really cool mural of a wizard fighting a tiger on the side or something along those lines.
No, that doesn't make a van cool. That brings a van down.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. A wizard van, Billy?
Yes. Like... I will show you pictures. You know what? We're going to share this on social media. I had a book when I was little, and they had these amazing vans, and they all had wizards on them and stuff.
Everyone's going to agree with you because our listeners are women and are obsessed with you. So you're already going to win, but let's be real. The van is fucking cool.
I have a reason.
Usually the seats go all the way back down on every row.
Well, I have a reason to defend the van. So back in the day when I was in college, graduating college, first going out on my music tours, I've toured in many of vans.
They're comfortable.
You can fit a lot of starving musicians in one single van.
And their items for their skinny bodies.
And their items. And if you're small enough, you can fit many bodies in each row to lie down and fall asleep in.
It's, yeah.
So I don't know what else you would do it in. Like, if you were a band starting out and starting to tour, there is no other vehicle that you can really tour in that's going to support you like a van will.
Yeah.
With all the lay down seats, with all the areas, with all the
air vents for ventilation, like good AC circulation. There are vents in the ceiling and below in the back.
Yes.
Listen, I'm telling you, imagine that.
I'm telling you, it's why senior citizens roll in them. Like, they are the most comfortable car there ever was.
I do think a windowless van is sketchy, though.
Not if you're a repairman.
But then if you are a murderer trying to, like...
Well, they're exploiting the goodness that is the van.
That is...
They're leveraging the van against us, which is what they want. They want us to turn on them.
Yes.
Yes.
Be on the lookout for the Defend the Van merch from The First Degree coming soon.
Coming with the pudding MLMs.
Pudding and vans for your enjoyment.
Pudding and vans. I'm going to go next.
Wait. Guilty or innocent?
Innocent.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Not guilty,
not
bitches.
Guilty. I like a van. I'm not against a van.
I might drive one.
Yeah. I always wanted a van.
What about those old VW buses? Those aren't buses. Those are vans. They call them buses, but like, that's cool.
My family had one. We drove to Florida in one of them.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
They are pretty cool.
And after our retro-themed night photo shoot like this weekend, I want it a fucking retro VW bus.
A first-degree mobile, I think,
dude,
would be a VW van.
Holy shit, yes.
Van bus.
We'll make it like the Scooby one.
Cute.
The Scary Machine.
Cute.
What is it called? The Scary Machine?
Scooby Mobile.
That's right.
I don't know if that's
Scary Machine.
I'm going to go now.
Yeah.
On the stand for me today, and I got inspired because before we started, Alexis was eating our first degree themed food item that's not pudding, which is a ham and pineapple pizza.
Sure.
A Hawaiian pizza,
Hawaiian
if you
pizza.
Will.
Yeah.
So on the stand for me today, and this is not exactly what you were eating, but it is what you will be eating later, is cold pizza.
Ooh.
Refrigerated pizza, day old, cold pizza. Now, I feel like a lot of people like a cold pizza, but they don't know why. So I did a little research and I found some facts.
Oh.
So cold pizza has similar properties to curries and stew that it can benefit from a little time in the refrigerator because of all the herbs in it. So when you first get a pizza, it's got all the different things going on and it's hot and the flavors are all kind of conflicting with each other. But once you put it in the refrigerator and let it cool down and
fuse. It steeps. It's like a tea.
Steeps. And then they all kind of fuse together in this like amazing super pizza flavor.
Whoa.
So that's why I think it tastes better cold because I'm not a leftover type of a person. Cold pizza is one of the only things that I'll eat as leftover.
See, I heat up cold pizza. I'll eat room temp pizza.
You don't want a refrigerator.
Like the pizza I'm eating right now in front of me is room temp
because
it's been here a while.
Yeah.
But it's delish. Cold, well, the cheese coagulates in a way that I love a melty cheese.
Bit. Yeah.
So I love day old pizza. You guys know me. I actually love leftovers because I'm lazy. I don't want to get more food the next day and wait for I prefer a leftover. And pizza, it just back in the oven melts once again. I will say it's often better.
Mm.
But the day old aspect, it rings true for me.
And I bet you those flavors still stay intact.
And probably even better because they have steeped and yet then I emulsify them with fire.
Well, it's once you if you heat up a stew again, it still has all those beautiful flavors.
Soups and shit only get better with age because it's like they haven't, you know, like disintegrated into the broth. All the anyone who knows about cooking is probably dying laughing at us because we don't know what we're talking about.
Billy, what do you think about day old pizza?
I'm all for day old pizza. I would though heat it up. I do not eat cold pizza.
Really?
Yeah, I put it in the oven for a little bit.
That being said, though, Billy eats very few things.
I do eat.
He's the most picky eater.
That's not true. Then who, though? Who are you going to compare me to?
Anyone I've ever met.
You're the pickiest eater I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Including, like, vegans I know.
Mm-hmm. Vegans eat more than you.
That's not true.
You don't eat anything.
I do. I eat a lot of stuff. What have I said no to?
I went in Billy's cabinets. He's got 5 jars of peanut butter, cereal, and protein bars.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's not like...
he's a grain guy.
And a fat guy. Like peanut butter? What are you eating out of the jar like Joe D'Angelo?
Yeah, maybe I am.
Ooh. I know you are.
He eats it out of the jar or he ate it out of the jar.
Yeah, that's why he's all skinny in jail now because he doesn't have any peanut butter.
Doesn't have that in his Dr. Pepper's.
Wasn't it Paul who said there was like jars of peanut butter with spoons in it everywhere in the house?
When they found him?
And Dr. Pepper. Those are those two things, yeah.
Can't get that in prison.
You know what? I bet he ate them together too. A Dr. Pepper and a peanut butter.
Sick, indulgent fuck Joe D'Angelo.
You sick.
You hedonistic fuck.
Fuck. Okay, anyways, pineapple on pizza. No,
day-old pizza.
Day-old pizza.
I'm going to say not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
All right, Billy.
Billy.
All right. So on our table right now is a product that the geniuses at Gatorade decided to create. Now, there's a product called Pedialyte.
Yeah.
Now, Pedialyte is for little kids. Little kids get dehydrated and everything like that. And then Pedialyte was for kids. Now, suddenly, about probably 10 years ago, hungover people, which is a theme of this podcast, saw that and said, I should use that, and it became a hangover cure.
Yes.
So Pedialyte was in a position where it's just like, we have this whole new market. This is amazing.
Yeah.
What does Gatorade do? Gatorade says, look at that. We're supposed to be the ones that help with hangovers.
Oh.
We're going to create Gatorlyte. Which is what we're drinking right here. Yes. And it's exactly like Pedialyte.
I have never heard of this before. This is not sponsored.
No, it's not. This is not sponsored at all.
Well, maybe. Should it be? How is it, Alexis?
It's pretty good.
It's okay.
Yeah, I like it. But I would name it something cuter, like
Gatorlyte.
Crocolite. Like they should have done
well,
like a
Gatorade.
I know. But like they should have been like
Crocolite.
Hey, this isn't our brand. Like we should they're ripping Pedialyte off. So they should have done like, we're going to launch it under a new name, you know, like separate from Gatorade brand.
Unless it's like a crossover between Gatorade and Pedialyte. That is a weird...
I don't believe it is, but it has scientifically formulated for rapid rehydration. It's got 5 electrolytes, a special blend, and everybody knows what it's for.
This is any different than regular Gatorade.
I don't think regular Gatorade has chloride, magnesium, and calcium.
Gatorlyte. Okay, so are you defending Gatorlyte? Do you like this? Or do you think it's a ripoff of Pedialyte?
I feel bad for the people at Pedialyte who are... This is going to
definitely... Fuck them. They're rich corporate people.
So is Gatorade.
So is Gatorade.
I fuck them too. But like you having compassion for Pedialyte, it doesn't track for me.
This is one of those things that Billy again didn't know what he was going to do, and he just threw it on the table.
He's like, I'm not prepared, but I'm going to pretend.
He's like, you know, on the stand, I'm going to say clocks.
I actually have been thinking of this. I'm going to say lamps.
No, but like fuck Pedialyte, fuck Gatorade.
Chairs.
Unless you guys have sponsorship money.
Yes, I also do like that Gatorade is the only place that serves Gatorade in terms of fast food places is Taco Bell. Because Taco Bell knows their audience.
Yes, they're taking away all of our fan favorites.
At Taco Bell?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, as long as
they canceled a ton of our...
Well, the potatoes are coming back.
Why would they sell Gatorade if they have Baja Blast?
I don't want potatoes at Taco Bell. Bring back the Mexican pizza.
That's why you got to get...
I'm going to go to McDonald's.
That's why you got to get a crunch from Del Taco.
Honestly, Del Taco's... They follow us on Instagram. Del Taco's been pretty supportive.
No, they're fans of the show. Friends of the show.
No, but I'm saying
big fat crispy chicken tacos are back, and that's all you need.
Well, they literally made the crunch tata because Taco Bell were idiots.
See, that's smart. They're not like Gatorade taking Pedialyte shit. They saw a hole in the market,
fill the market,
mm-hmm. and they're like, "We'll rescue the Taco Bell fans that are being neglected by." Taco Bell.
Yeah, I don't know why companies do this. They get rid of the fan faves and then they lose loyal fans.
Well, Team Del Taco.
Team Del Taco. Back to Gatorlyte.
Back to Gatorlyte. It's good product, but you know what? Let Pedialyte have its due. So I'm going to say guilty.
I'm going to say mistrial. Fuck them both.
I'm going to say guilty because again, I really want to look like back to back of the ingredients between Gatorlyte and Gatorade because I doubt they're different. This seems like a marketing scheme.
Dude, Gatorlyte is also so hard to say. Pedialyte, it sounds like child's medicine, but it's easier to say than Gatorlyte.
Gatorlyte actually sounds like a fucking Monster Energy, like
Four Loko.
Or disease. Like, I've got the gator light in my toes. You know, like frostbite like or gangrene.
Yes. Once again, Gatorade, if you want to sponsor.
Yeah. So the sales
hashtag, obviously not an ad. The sales team should definitely clip this and send it to them.
Yes.
Anyways. All right. Well, when we come back, it is time for some True Crime Rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's True Accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real world, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world, and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome everyone to True Crime Rewind. What we're doing right now is we are talking about a crime that happened in London. Please get off of me. I'm calling HR right now.
We don't have... I'm HR, bitch. Jack is... Actually, Jack always checks.
Yes. I do check.
Jack's like, fuck you guys. Jack's HR.
Like, stop arguing.
Jack is HR. Okay, all right. So... we all know Jack the Ripper.
Billy, what did you call me? The lukewarm water?
The lukewarm water in between the fire and ice that is Alexis and Billy.
Yes, thank you. Anyways, continue.
So we have Jack the Ripper. Everybody knows Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
Now, there was, you know, Scourge of London, probably the most famous serial killer ever, probably the guy that kicked off this whole entire genre that we're in. Now, in the early 60s in London, there was someone that was killing sex workers who were found undressed near the river, and the press nicknamed this guy Jack the Stripper.
Which I've never heard of. Have you heard of, Alexis?
No, but it sounds erotic.
It does. I honestly thought it might have been like a Magic Mike.
Honestly, I don't. What? Trademark pending. It's not a terrible idea.
If somebody wants to search on Pornhub right now, I bet that there is a Jack the Stripper.
100%.
Definitely some kind of a porn.
But is the domain available?
Jackthestripper.com. You know what? This is why we have our computers out. Jack the Stripper.
But while you're searching for it, it got us thinking about...
Alexis, buy now for $2,600.
So somebody is sitting on it. Somebody actually had the... There's probably blank the stripper. There's probably every name the stripper.
Yeah. Okay, Billy, continue.
So it got us thinking about monikers. How serial killers get their names. How, you know, anybody in crime gets their names. And, you know, we've talked about this. I think we talked about this a little bit before. But there are some names that are out there that are just a little weird. Now, here's one of them. The Giggler. Do you know who the Giggler is?
No, but I'm into it.
Okay.
What did the Giggler do?
All right. Now, this guy, we're taking this from Ranker.com, by the way. In the early hours in 1969 in June, a man who laughed and identified himself as the Giggler called and reported the body of a dead man at a construction site. And this guy was awful, but the reason why they called him the Giggler is because he was laughing on the phone.
Oh.
Yes.
The Giggler.
But they did catch him, though.
But... don't these monikers usually go to serial killers that they can't find for a while?
Yeah, like
somebody that like turns himself in right away.
Exactly. But my favorite, and Jack, we love to talk about this. My favorite serial killer who proposed his own monikers was BTK.
Of course, BTK.
Yes.
BTK. And I mean, if we must remember.
Well, we have talked about this on the podcast before, but it was a long time ago. So I think that we can revisit BTK's monikers.
Right. He wanted to be the... So he was sending correspondence. He was playing cat and mouse with police, and he was suggesting monikers. And one was the Wichita Strangler, the Wichita Hangman, the Asphyxiator, which is too fucking hard to say.
Yeah, we've had to say that a lot on the podcast.
And he also wanted to be, what is it, the Garrote Phantom.
The Garrote Phantom.
Yeah. And he had several that he was really trying to... But BTK... Well, here's the thing that I think people forget. He suggested BTK and that did stick. Mm-hmm. And that probably gave him so much...
I hate
that the police gave him that.
I hate that.
They should have called him like the small dick man.
That's right.
It doesn't have a ring to it, and that's the point.
Which is what the Golden State Killer should have been called.
He should have called...
That's what honestly most
he should have been called
be
Button
called.
Penis. Mm-hmm. Extraordinaire.
So there's also a guy
named... The penis buttoner.
There's also a guy named Buttermilk Bluebird.
Buttermilk Bluebird? That sounds like a delicious...
Like a singer.
Who murdered...
It sounds like a craft cocktail.
Well, yeah, I'll have the Buttermilk Bluebird.
It sounds like a rum, like a butter, hot buttered rum or something.
So that sounds so delicious.
Yeah. He apparently killed 8 women shortly after marrying them.
What does that have to do with Buttermilk Bluebirding?
He was like Bluebird. He was a wealthy nobleman in a classic French folktale.
What is this, the 1400s?
Like, no,
it's actually
1930
to 1945. I feel like this guy made up his own. He's a fucking BTK.
No, he's a fool.
He's like, I'm the Buttermilk Bluebird. I'm going to go play a song. And like,
you're not that smooth, dude. Yeah. You're like curdled milk, bro.
Curdled milk.
Now, because Seinfeld is a running theme in this show, you remember the episode, which was actually the Frogger episode, they had a serial killer who was being called the Lopper because he was cutting people's heads off. And there was a debate on what they should call him. The other names were the Denogonizer.
Denogonizer?
Hedzo and Son of Dad. And he was killing people that looked like Jerry.
Jerry, like my boyfriend?
No, Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh. Or Jerry Seinfeld, the guy that the show's about.
Also, your Jerry's good. No, but what's so funny about Seinfeld is they have the Rifkin references too.
They have
like two episodes that have kind of like overtaken by serial killer references.
I know. I wonder if that was just in, you know, what was going on in the world, or if somebody kind of had a little inkling.
Somebody had a little serial killer
Yeah,
deal
that's right.
going on there. And wasn't Kramer being looked into as a serial killer when he came out to LA?
Yes, mm-hmm. He was not a serial killer, but a murderer.
When he had the headshots. And,
they were all watching it unfold on TV at that point, yeah.
Yep. So that begs the question, which apparently we've not been using correctly, but...
Was this something that you...
Yeah, it's something that we've been on the other... Yes, yes. Apparently begs the question doesn't mean ask the question.
No one cares.
No one cares, okay.
Good, move on.
What would our names be? If we were criminals, not necessarily serial killers, but if we were criminals.
Lex the Annihilator.
We already went through this.
What?
Didn't we?
Maybe not. Maybe.
Maybe in, the other show, not in Killing Time.
Lex the Destroyer.
Lex, wasn't it Lex?
The Pulverizer.
I like the
I'll just keep going.
I like Lex the Pulverizer.
Lex the Liquidator.
Ooh.
That's pretty good. A little, some alliteration in there.
Yeah, you need a little, wow.
Lex, and I'm tall. Lex the Long Liquidator.
That sounds like some like credit check.
Lexi Long Legs the Liquidator.
Okay.
Like a giant scary spider.
I like that. Okay. Billy's is already taken. Slenderman is already taken.
So headless Scarecrow Extraordinaire.
Oh my God. Bleep. Billy, what was it?
The Headless Scarecrow.
Yes.
It wasn't a headless.
It was something Scarecrow. It was brainless Scarecrow or something like that.
Brainless Scarecrow. Billy got a bad review for something he's done, and they called him a brainless Scarecrow.
A bad review by a subject of the...
That's okay. He targeted me too, but mine wasn't as mean. He called me a Heather's cast reject, which I took as a compliment.
Yes.
And then nasty and insidious, which also good.
Insipid, I believe it
was. Can we tell the listeners
what's
who it
insipid?
Is?
Oh, you guys know. He was like an early episode Jason Christopher Hughes.
I know, but you need to explain it a little bit, because you won't talk about this on your other podcast.
We're not allowed.
Can we talk about it on this podcast?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so give a little backstory, and then you can go back to the nicknames.
Okay, yeah. So we covered, we called it Internet Satan. That was the name of our episode. We interviewed a subject named Rachel, and Rachel and I formed a connection, and I was really disgusted by the fact that this internet stalker had been ruining her life for so long, and then I realized there are so many others, and I was like, I'm going to make this a thing. So it's installment two of Unraveled. And the subject, Jason Christopher Hughes, if you're in our Facebook group, the guy with the very tiny glasses, if you Google him, he's on the New York Post.
Owl
scary
poem.
Guy. Scary guy. Truly scary guy. He is not pleased with the project. And a lot of people have been wondering, like, are you and Billy safe from him? No. But I also don't care. Like, I don't know what he could... Whatever. My point is that he left us, what he's done so far is left us a review on iTunes and on IMDb. But like, everyone knows it's him because he knows things only he would know.
Yeah.
And he left us a review, and it was very colorful. Mm-hmm. Brainless Scarecrow, Billy. He actually called Billy two names.
What was the other one?
Like a joke of an investigative journalist or something.
A fraud of an investigative journalist. Yeah.
A fraud. And he literally just said, I'm an insipid.
Insipid, yeah.
And nasty. I'm like, ooh, he's going... Because Billy was reading it to me aloud. I'm like, he's going to attack. I was like, it's going to get bad.
Yeah.
He's like, Heather's cast reject. I'm like, this is...
That's nice.
Wow, okay.
Thank you.
Whatever. Like,
I like Brainless Scarecrow. That like really
he's
spoke to
excellent
me.
At insults. I will give him that. He's very colorful and creative with his language. But I hope, you know, for me, it's not personal. This was a job and a story, and I felt passionate about it. He's taking this very personally. Not so much for us. So I'm not so saddened by his behavior. I'm just like...
Great insults.
Heather's is one of my favorite movies. So I'm actually literally very happy for the reference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are probably going to ask everybody on social media what our names should be.
Yeah.
We're going to let the crowd decide.
I didn't even get any.
Cannon Leg Vanek.
What?
Imagine you had a cannon as a leg. Have you ever seen Rose McGowan? Was it Roundhouse?
It was Grindhouse, yeah.
Grindhouse. She had like a chainsaw leg. Like fucking cannon leg Vanek.
Okay, I love that. There's no basis to that at all.
Come on.
No.
Come on, though. Like, that is such a fucking marriage of like a fictional character and the true Jack.
Okay.
Because you don't even have to get up. You just lay down and launch your cannonball leg at someone.
That's what's up.
And shit.
And then go to sleep.
Crumbles.
All right. Well, give us, we need some actual recommendations for nicknames because we didn't get too far.
If you don't vote Cannon Leg Vanek, it's over.
Okay.
All right. So until then, yes, look for that on social media. But until then, we are going to hear about the worst things Ooh. That you have ever done.
Terrible behavior. Ever.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Friends, enemies, thank you for joining us.
It's been quite an episode.
It's been quite an episode, and we're here for the darkest part of our podcast, the worst thing you've ever done. Firsty worsties. Honestly, it's my favorite segment.
Do you want to tell our listeners where they can call in?
Yes. Yes, I do. Very much.
Yes.
You can call us at 323-539-3516. I'm going to say it one more time. 323-539-3516. You can email us a voice note if you want as well. We haven't really gotten those, but that is an option.
We're just not taking any written submissions. We need to hear your beautiful, beautiful
voices.
Yeah,
we're just not funny enough. I mean, the delivery is key. And also, a couple things to note. They'll ask for your name when you leave the message. We never hear that. We won't know it. You don't have to say it. And it'll cut off at just under 3 minutes. So if it cuts off, call us back. Pick right back up. We can always edit back in like it's one cohesive thing.
Yep.
But those are really the two key things to note. We also haven't gotten any harassing messages or voicemails yet, which I'm disappointed by. Because I would love to play one of those.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
But it can't be too mean against me because otherwise it'll disappear into the abyss and no one will ever hear it.
Anyways.
On to the firsty worsty of today's segment.
Let's go.
Stand by.
Hey, guys. I'm a longtime listener. And I wanted to just call in and tell you guys my story of what the worst thing I've ever done is. I don't know if it counts because I didn't really mean it. I didn't mean to do it. But, yeah, I'll give you my story. So my husband and I, we had just moved into this neighborhood where the houses are patio homes. So they're like super close to each other. And our neighbors to the left, they were from Florida. The neighbors across from us, they were from New York, and they were super friendly. Always did like neighborhood barbecues and basketball games, and they were the kind of neighbors where you come home with groceries and if they caught you, you would be stuck talking to them for like half an hour. So one time they were throwing a barbecue and they had invited us. My husband, first of all, doesn't really like these kind of social events. And he was sick. So he stayed inside and recovered, but I thought I would go out and meet all the neighbors. And I went out there. And it turned out just to be the two dads. So the guy from Florida is probably in like his mid-40s. He is on the barbecue cooking hot dogs. And I open up a beer. And I'm talking to them. And, you know, it's a little awkward because I don't know them and they don't know me. But he asks me how I like my hot dog cooked. And I say, I don't care as long as it's not burnt. And the guy from New York, he's probably in his 60s. He says that his sister, she only ate her hot dogs burnt, like to a crisp black. And then he keeps on talking about her. And at the end, he says, you know, she died from colon cancer a couple years ago. And immediately, without skipping a beat, I blurt out, I say, probably from all those burnt hot dogs. And it got really quiet, really quick. I took my hot dog and I ate it inside my house, and they never again invited us to any of these neighborhood get-togethers. So that's probably the one thing that keeps me up at night. And my husband never lets me forget about it. He makes fun of me all the time. So, yeah, that's my story, guys.
Okay. What I want to say is that we all have a story like this, where you react inappropriately to news of, like, death or trauma or something scary.
Well, it's like the fact that when what I'm doing right now, I laugh when I get uncomfortable and nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's so inappropriate. You shouldn't be doing it, but it's just this reaction that just blurts out of you. And you're like, I don't know. It's like a, I don't know. It's like a biological reaction.
I'm telling you, I said something like this once, and I'm not going to repeat it, but I had a similar reaction. And the person who I was friends with never spoke to me again. And this was in high school. And it was a total innocent mistake, because I think when we're presented with someone's pain, or we don't know how to react, we're not like, there's no fucking books to read to know how to comfort someone or how to say the appropriate thing. And a lot of people turn to humor, like lightheartedness, as an exit from that awkwardness.
Well, and it's not even that. It's like almost like an impulse reaction where you just are like, oh my God, that was so uncomfortable and horrifying and terrible and traumatic. I don't know what to do. So I just like blurted this thing out.
Not only that, cracking a joke usually relieves every situation. It's usually a great way out
equalizer
of some awkwardness.
Yes.
Especially she's like, they didn't know me. I didn't know him. She was forcing conversation as it was.
Yeah.
And she was grasping at straws to try to like move it forward.
Yeah.
And it's an honest mistake. Like, our brains can't piece together the repercussions of what we say fast enough to know that it's going to be awkward. And
yeah,
honestly, it was an honest mistake. She was not there to hear it. It was a mistake. And you know what? They didn't invite you then over to their barbecues again. They weren't drunk enough when you all were hanging out. And that is their bad. And you don't want to fucking hang out with them anyway, because your mistake is an honest mistake. And the fact that you still feel bad about it years later means you're a good person. What you say is not what you do or who you are. It was a mistake. And forgive yourself.
And she potentially could have been right.
Honestly, carcinogens cause cancer.
Well,
and especially like charred food.
No, I mean, charred food.
People say that about burnt toast. Like, you shouldn't. It changes the chemical compounds in food. And I don't know the research. I'm not a scientist. But I do know that I've heard that a lot on the internet. And some
yes
of it could
well
be.
Well, there
true
was a 2010 you know review at
you know
Vanderbilt
if you,
University.
If you
that
read
said
something on the internet,
it could
true.
It could
true
be
yes
true.
No, but Vanderbilt University had a 2010 review that said that well-done meat can cause cancer.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what I'm taking away from this is I think that these types of stories are exactly what we were looking for when we started this segment of our podcast, because it's these like cringy moments that you're like, oh no. And it like keeps you up at night, and everybody can kind of relate to and have their own story that is similar to
that. You re-pour over the details, but like, you have to know it's a human mistake. It's a mistake yeah that we've all done at least once. Forgive yourself. The fact that you feel bad admonishes you.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't, they've all forgotten about it, I promise. And you're a good person. And you know what? I would have thought it was funny, because I'm awkward and I do weird shit like that and get in trouble all the time.
Next.
Anyways, sorry. Don't do it though, listeners.
All right. So I really hope this is for killing time. It's not going to be extremely embarrassed. So the worst thing, well, one of the worst things I have ever done, I was a bad college child. I was, in my wild child days, dating and kind of going out and partying with whoever I wanted to and felt like and thought was cool and whatnot. So I went out with a guy I had met the same day, and he came and picked me up that night. Same night I had like messaged him on OkCupid or whatever the hell is using Tinder. And I got in his car, and I was like, this dude is about to kill me. Like, this is the worst, creepiest vibes. His car was all beat up. He just gave me really off vibes. So I texted my best friend, and I was like, yo. I was like, you need to call me right now. She's like, what's wrong? I was like, just fucking call me. She didn't even make it around the block. And she calls me. I'm like, oh, my God, why are you calling me, like, so late? And she's just like, what's wrong? I was like, oh, my God, so-and-so's in the hospital, your husband? Oh, I have to, I'll get there right now. I'm so sorry. I made up this complete-ass lie about her husband, boyfriend, person being in the hospital. Made the guy turn around while I was on the phone with her and take me back home. And he tried to, like, call me after that and, you know, that was really fucked up of you, X, Y, Z, da, da, da. And I was just like, dude, like, I'm pretty sure he would have killed me, like, if I had stayed in that car with him any longer than I had to. And that was probably the worst thing I had ever done. Like, he was probably a really nice guy, but, you know, who wants to go at 10 o'clock at night to get a fucking snow cone? It was just, it was weird, and it was bad, and I am alive. So, yeah. But, yeah, this was seriously the coolest thing ever that y'all allow your listeners to do this. And with that, I'm going to go hide somewhere because I'm pretty sure my mom would shoot me if she knew that story. Okay, bye.
Okay, well, first of all, if his response was to harass you and say, what the fuck, then this guy's a psycho. Because, like, you give, if you don't know someone that well, you have to pretend that's true. Mm-hmm. And you can't say, like, fuck you, how could you do this? Like, you should be like, her friend's husband is probably sick. Like, even if it's a lie,
well, you have to give
that's
them,
what you do.
You just got to give people the benefit of the doubt.
You just don't know someone well enough to accuse them of lying to you, especially if the date didn't even get to climax. So what I'm saying is, like, he revealed his colors to you right there. Like, because what if it was true? That's who he is when you have crisis, even a fake crisis.
Also, I mean, this is so mild. I feel like anybody that's been on any dating app that has met up with a stranger that's given off bad vibes has definitely made up some fake crisis to get out of it. That's just what goes on.
You got
to
do
honestly, when you're going the app.
It's part of it. Like, you cannot expect a stranger to do what you want, or you cannot go into a situation like that with expectations. If you don't meet in real life, how can you fucking possibly know if you're going to vibe?
No.
And it's not a direct insult to you. Like, people need to stop being so salty. It's like, not even the hottest people don't vibe together. It's not a looks thing. It's not a job thing. It's like, it's specific energy and only so many people sync up. And I think we have to let go of this idea that, like, every time it doesn't work out, it's an insult to you.
Yes.
It's not. It's just people are looking for their fucking soulmate. And you know it when you see it. And they're not all going to be winners, guys. And you can't take it personally when it's not. And girl, your instincts are probably right because his reaction was not cool.
Mm-hmm. No, you saved yourself.
To your lie.
Yeah, no, you saved yourself a lot of trouble. And you followed your instincts. And that was the best thing.
Yeah. I mean,
we've all done it, babe.
I've done it multiple times. But the dating app world is just so hard because then you thrust yourself into situations like that that you wouldn't have ever been in if you met somebody in real life. You know what I mean? Because you don't, like, you're not going to meet somebody out at a coffee shop and then not get bad vibes and then get bad vibes and then not get bad vibes.
I'm telling you, I've met people in person, like, drunk and at a bar.
Well, drunk is different.
And then been like, wow, he was so cool and sexy. And then going to the date and I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Drunk is different because you're gonna have beer goggles and think anybody that you meet
and it's
is your
dark
soulmate.
And
like everyone's vibes with yours when you're blackout.
Oh, I've always said, I'm like, I could get along with a brick wall. If I'm drunk, I will think a freaking window is my soulmate.
And listen, this goes for men too. Men will be like, this houseplant is fucking sexy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick my dick right in this dirt.
And they probably
we're gonna
do.
Live happily ever after. And they probably do.
And they try it out.
But that's the thing, like men's standards go all over the place when they're drunk. Their inhibitions go out the window. Their logic, their self-preservation goes out the window.
Yeah.
So, like, hey, these again, we have to destigmatize them. They're not everybody, like incels get mad when they're rejected. Women get mad when they're rejected. It's like none of it's personal.
And also, you know what? Rejection really builds your character. And rejection forces you to find somebody that's good for you. I think everybody should be rejected a million times in their life.
Yeah. Honestly, because if it comes too easy, it's just...
You don't want to always get what you want. You don't.
Because what you want is not always healthy. What you need to learn, like it, you need to sculpt it, and it curbs to you.
Yeah.
With trial and error. And that is what rejection's all about. You know, like not meant to be. The person doesn't want you, so move on. And it's not supposed to be hurtful. Like, it's not mean. It's like everyone's got a match and that's not yours.
Okay. Well, on that note,
this is a dating podcast now.
Alexis, are you going to lead us into the night with your...
Oh my God, is it already that time?
Stanza?
Fuck balls. Okay. So on the heels of our moniker discussion, I decided to do a poem, a stanza, if you will, called George's Identity Crisis.
Love this.
Lord of the Idiots, Art Vandelay. I've got several identities, one might say. A bunch of mean kids. A bunch of mean kids called me a Mary because I skipped over a puddle and looked like a fairy. My other personas very much vary. Can't stand ya. I was called by my high school coach. I begged him to take a different approach. I invented my own nickname at work. I asked colleagues to call me T-Bone, but they acted like jerks. They called me Coco the Monkey because I flail my arms. The cruel names do nothing but harm. Oof. If I was a serial killer, my moniker would be the Balding Bumbler or the Body Part Fumbler, the Neurotic Destroyer, or the Two-Paid Voyeur.
Wow.
Nice.
That was incredible.
Thanks, guys.
That was amazing.
Woohoo. Bye, friends. Goodbye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.